Today I'm going to continue the series in the from Elijah, the prophet in the Old Testament. And last week we saw that God had led Elijah to a widow lady who was about to starve. She was concerned because she only had a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil left. That's all she had in the pantry. Can you imagine, ladies, of opening up your cabinet? Your bank account was zero. You had a little oil and a little flour to make some biscuit with, and that's it. Well, that's all she had. And as the story goes, God sends Elijah to her, and he said, I want you to take what you have, and I want you to pour it out. Make me a biscuit first, then make yourself and your son one. And then he said, if you do this, that your oil and your flour will not run out during this time of famine. And then, of course, she was did what the prophet of God said, and sure enough, she poured out the oil, and she looked in the cup, and there it was again. Wouldn't that be kind of cool? Now, that's where we're at today. Good news, life is good, right? But don't you know there's always something coming? Here's something else is happening, and let's read what it is. In 1 Kings chapter 17, and let's look at verse number 17. Now it came about after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick, and his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. Now, just as things got better, just as she was so depressed that she was ready to eat and die. That's what the Bible says before Elijah came. Here God took care of that problem, and now look what happens. Her son quit breathing. Doesn't life kind of have a tendency to do that to us sometimes? Everything's going good, and you get out of one adversity, and seems things level out, and boom, all of a sudden something else happened. Now I want you to watch how tragedies will sometimes bring out the worst in people. Did y'all know that? I've seen things happen tragic in life, and especially to Christians, and it'll either draw you closer, more dependent upon him, or you'll kind of push him away and say, wow, if God did that to me. And that's what we see happening here. Notice this very interesting verse. So she said to Elijah, what do I have to do with you, O man of God? You have come to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death. Isn't that sad? God had just showed up and saved her, and she immediately thought that this prophet of God and God himself put her son to death. Now, to me, this is very fascinating, and it's so fascinating, I actually want to take about 5 minutes, and I want y'all to think about, why would this lady react the way she did? Why would she blame the prophet of God for doing this? Why would she blame God? And she even said here she blamed herself, her past sins. You've come to bring up these past problems and my past mistakes, and now my son is dead. Why would she do that? Why would she think like that? Would you take just a few minutes, chat about it, and I'll come back in just a minute, and I'm just curious to see what you're going to say. God's given me a good bit about it, but I want to hear what you say first, all right? I'll be right back. I think that's some great perspectives. I think part of it, the lady, she knew probably because Elijah had said, this famine is coming on you because of what you are doing, your idolatry. We'll be getting into that more next week, is the part of the main reason, the wicked leadership. So there were consequences from God for evil things that were being done. And in that lady's mind, she might have been thinking, well, he's punishing the nation with famine because of this. Therefore, he's probably punishing me. You know, she even said here, you're bringing my iniquities to remembrance. But I want you to understand something, though, about a deeper root. I agree with everything you said. I'm just going to take you a little bit deeper about what I believe. Okay? She's blaming Elijah. She's blaming God. She's blaming herself. But, you know, my sins, my transgressions. And I just believe the whole thing is wrapped up in this one sentence. This is a result of living under the law system of God. Now allow me to explain just for a few minutes. The law was given about 1530 BC, best I can tell by doing research, when Moses was on the scene. Now this was about 860 BC during this time of Elijah. So So we're talking about 500 years later. So the law was given, if you remember, back on Mount Sinai when the people said, tell God, you know, they had to go through Moses to get to God. Tell God all that you command we would do. They kept wanting a king, and God didn't want them to have a king. He wanted them to have a relationship. And they kept on, all you command we'll do. So that's when the Ten Commandments were given, because you see, the people thought that they could work themselves to God and do good and do right. Does that sound familiar in churches today? We think that we can please God by doing all these things, and we can make ourselves somehow help Jesus out because what he did at the cross wasn't good enough. So we got to now work to improve. You see what I'm saying? I'm telling you, that's what I was taught. But when you spend most of your life under a law system, it'll produce exactly what you see in this woman. Friends, I want you to listen to this. The law system was sent to do a few things, and it's not what you think. And you go to 95% of the Christians in America today, it may be even higher, and you say, why were the Ten Commandments given, the law given to start with? What do you think they're going to say? Help me. Come on. Show us how to live. Structure. Rules, guidelines. Keep us from sinning. True, wouldn't you think? Thou shalt not steal or kill. That's a good thing, right? Okay. I'm going to give you four things quickly, and I talk about them in my book. So if you want them more detailed, go get a copy of the book, and it'll break it down even more. Folks, when you're under the law system, now this, we didn't know this till after the cross, till after Paul came on the scene, who began to now explain why the law was given. And look at this on the screen. Sin increases the more you focus on the law. So this is a result of focusing and living under the law system. I didn't say this. Go look it up for yourselves. Romans chapter 5. The law came in so that the transgression or sins would increase. What? The law was given to make people sin more? I didn't say this. Paul said it. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Why would the law cause us to sin more? Because you see, without rules, there's no transgressions. But you tell, as I told you, you want your kids to sin and mess up more? Well, just give them 500 rules they got to live by. I'm not opposed to some rules, as you've heard me say. I understand that. I've been trying to reconcile how God deals with me. How can I parent or raise my kids or grandkids or whatever the same way God treats us, okay? Second thing, what else does the law do? Look at this next slide. Sinful passions are stirred up and aroused. Eddie's talked about this, but I want to touch on it again. In Romans chapter 7, verses 4 through 6, therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law. We're not under law, Romans 6:14. He says that here. Through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. We want to bear more fruit to God. You don't do it by keeping rules. You do it by focusing on Christ and let the Holy Spirit live his life through us. That's the true fruit of God. And then look at verses 5 and 6 here in Romans 7. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions were aroused by the law. Tell somebody not to do something. Does that make them not want to do it, or does it make them want to go do it? Tell the kid, don't you dare touch that red button. They're sitting there. They can't help it. Would you be better off not to say anything? Absolutely. They'd less chance they would go touch that button. I guarantee you. That's what it's talking about here. But aroused by the law, we're at work in the members of our body to bear fruit to death. But we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we can serve in the newness of the Spirit and not the oldness of the letter of the law. In other words, we are to walk in the Spirit, not try to focus on the law system, now do what it says. When you walk in the Spirit, you end up keeping the law you wanted to keep to start with. See, God goes way contrary to our way we think, don't he? Fourth thing you see as you focus on the law, the foundation of sin is strengthened. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the last thing, you're ministering death to yourself and others. Wow. Just keep trying to focus on law, doing the do's and don'ts of the Christian life, and you're ministering death to yourself. The ministry of death written and engraved on stones, and we find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. It's no wonder Christians seem to live defeated lives most of the time. Romans 6:14 clearly states we're not under law, we're under grace. And this lady was raised under the law system, I mean pure law. Grace wasn't even dabbled out there, not like we have it now. We're seeing it talked about and preached, a balance of law and grace in the church. That's what I used to do because I didn't understand what God has shown me now. I tried to say, well, the Old Testament says this, and even Jesus' word said this. For example, Jesus said, if you want to be forgiven, you better forgive other people in Matthew chapter 6. That was before he went to the cross, though. Paul said, you've been forgiven of all sins. You see, so we're conflicted in the church until you understand that the cross changed everything. Steve McVeigh wrote a book, How to Read the Bible, I talk about this a little bit in my book, but he does a whole little book about it much better than I could ever explain that. If you're struggling with dividing the old covenant from the new covenant, I encourage you to get that book. It really will help you understand now when I read scripture, I look at it through the lens of grace, through the lens of the new covenant, which is what we're under right now. But it's no wonder that this lady was messed up in her thinking and emotions. Now even with right thinking, with the grace message in our minds and hearts, I think we'll be less likely to lash out and blame. We still do lash out and blame, though. Just like you've said, we're human in our thinking so much of the time, and we lash out sometimes at the first person that's around us. And we say things we don't mean and so forth. So I clearly think that was the case. However, she had a foundation of law in her life. Well, God's going to punish me when I don't do good, because that's clearly what you see happening in the old covenant, right? Because they said, put us under rules. Reward us when we do good, punish us when we do bad. That's basically what they were saying. And God said, okay, if that's what you want, I'm going to give you more rules. Till finally you come to the end of yourself, and the book of Galatians says that the law came in so that you could understand the finished work of the cross. Galatians. I forgot the verse, but anyway. Wow. Walking under the teaching of the law has twisted our view of God. She had a twisted view of God, didn't she? We still have a twisted view of God. If we think God's going to hammer us on the head and judge us, and we can't get everything right. Folks, the Bible says he's already dealt with that sin at the cross. There are consequences to sin, yes. We're going to be judged by those sins, by the consequences of them, if you will. Go get caught stealing and killing out here, and you're going to get put in jail. Good chance. But it isn't God orchestrating that and bam, shooting that lightning bolt to you and punishing you. That's not what he's doing. God is about restoring. But the law system, you see, will cause us to be judgmental because we're focused on good and evil, right? We're focused on doing good and stopping evil. Therefore, we have a judgmental mentality. Well, at least I'm not doing that. Have you ever heard anybody say that Christians sometimes are the most judgmental people out there? You ever heard that and even believed it? I've seen it. It's no wonder, because that's what we were raised under, that kind of teaching. That's the long answer to why the woman was blaming Elijah, okay? Now, when the whole time, even in this passage, in the Old Covenant, the whole time, God is out to restore, not to destroy. I mean, you see it all over this passage. God is about healing, not inflicting sickness. I want you to look at this. Back to 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's see how Elijah handled the lady's accusations, okay? I probably wouldn't have been so graceful. I said, here I am. I'm here bringing, got you food and, you know, y'all wouldn't have done that, would you? Okay, let's see what he said. He said to her, give me your son. Then he took him from her bosom and carried him up to the upper room where he was living and laid him on his bed. Now Elijah went to the Lord and said, O Lord God, have you also brought calamity to this widow with whom I am staying by causing her son to die? Even Elijah, like I say, was falling for a faulty view of God. Notice God's answer to Elijah as he worked through Elijah. He didn't even address his question. He just got down to the restoration, or in this case, reviving this person that had died. Then he stretched, we know because God's doing this because Elijah, God was working through Elijah. Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and called to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray you, let the child's life return to him. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. Now I want you to listen. If you forget everything else I said today, may this be what you take home. If you ever think God is sending sickness, trouble, adversity your way because of something you've done in the present or even in the past, I want you to take those thoughts captive in the name of Jesus Christ, and don't you dare let the enemy and even yourself take you down a road of condemnation and guilt, because it's not God doing it. Are you listening? I'm telling you, I've heard Christians, well, I thought God had forgiven me, but I still believe I'm being punished. I've heard this over and over again in churches, that I know because I did this way back then, I'm still being punished from God for it. Friend, that is a lie from Satan himself. Notice what God is all about. I love this. Verse 23 and 24. Elijah took the child and brought him from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word, watch it, that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is truth. The word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. This woman displayed no faith, if you will, until she saw the miracle. Right? She was blaming. Then God restored her. It's easy for us to have faith then, isn't it? It's easy for us to display belief and trust. She said, now I know that you're a man of God. Can I tell you where I believe God wants us to be? God wants us to be in a place where we can believe Him for good before we see the miracle. Don't you think? Sure. Before we see the miracle manifested. You know what I believe the key to it is? Is to keep growing in grace. Keep hearing about the finished work of the cross. That God indeed is good and He is for you. Keep hearing that over and over and over again. To finally drown out those voices of the old covenant of the past that we've been raised under. It takes a long time for us, our minds to be renewed. It really does. Because I still have stuff, this kind of thinking come up in my life sometimes. Keep growing in grace. Keep speaking truth over your adversities and your adverse situations. The Holy Spirit showed me something this week as I was studying this, and it's like it jumped off the page at me. And it was in that verse 24, the latter part of the verse. She said, now I know you are a man of God, and here's the part that I'm talking about, that the word of the Lord is in your mouth, that is in your mouth is truth. She recognized the word of the Lord, it was in Elijah's mouth. Now listen to me carefully. Did you know that the word of the Lord is in your brain and is in your mind and is in your heart and He wants it to come out of your mouth? Sometimes we don't speak truth. We speak negativity. But He wants us to speak truth. He wants us to speak good over the situation. I'll give you some examples in a moment. But since my brother Keith is here, I never will forget this. He's the craziest one of the whole bunch, by the way, just in case you know. He and I were talking about somebody one time. There's some people, I just don't ask, how you doing? Do y'all know what I mean? They're going to tell you. And it's never good. It's always gloom and doom. I don't feel good. I'm just getting by. And I know a person right now, I wouldn't dare call his name, but he'll tell you if there's anything bad going to happen, it's going to happen to me. Isn't that sad? And usually that's what ends up happening because that's what they're looking for. But anyway, Keith and I were talking about this person one time, and he said, you know what, if I really felt this bad all the time, I just believe I'd lie every now and then. When somebody says, how you doing? He said, I just believe I'd lie and say, I'm doing great. I don't get to be around that crazy joker much because he doesn't work with me anymore, but I miss you, Keith. That kind of stuff. I even have some of my guys say, I miss Keith. Keep something going around here all the time. What am I trying to say? Speak truth. Speak truth over your situation on the front end. If you're sick, speak truth. Thank the Lord. And I believe speaking truth with thanksgiving is the best way to do it. And I mean this like this. Thank you, Lord, that you took my sickness at the cross and by your stripes I'm healed. Thank you that I'm healed. Now, you're no more healed in your body than you feel as far as you're concerned. You're still hurting. What do you do until then? Keep taking an aspirin. Keep going to the doctor. I'm not saying don't do that unless the Holy Spirit tells you not to. Trust Him. But I'm telling you, God is about healing and restoration. He's not about sickness. If you're broke and out of money, thank God for the supply. Thank you, Lord. You have promised to supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. And you begin to keep thanking Him. Week goes by, month goes by, and you still can't hardly pay your bills. You keep thanking God. Speaking it out loud, whether you believe it really in your own heart or not. There's something about speaking truth, even though you don't believe it deep down, you're thinking, Just keep speaking it anyway. Keep speaking it. It'll finally come down to you'll begin to believe it. I've tried this. If you're coming under attack by a person, God, you are for me. Who can be against me? I tell you what, as you know, a business the size of ours, we're not going to please everybody. And we come under attack every now and then after we've done all we know to do. And I tell you, it used to get in the bed with me big time. Now, I take those thoughts captive and I say, God, Jesus Christ, you probably couldn't please them. Why do I think I can? I'm not joking. That doesn't mean I don't try. But there's sometimes you're not going to please everybody. You that are in business know exactly what I'm talking about. The saying that the customer is always right is a lie. That's a good goal to go by and strive for, but you're going to have them every now and then. You can't go by that. Anyway, I don't know why I got on that. Speak truth. Folks, that's why I titled the message, Back to Life. You want to be back to life in the midst of an adversity that's got you so worried you don't know what to do? Start thanking God right where you are. Start thanking Him for encouraging you. I know you're being encouraged. Because you're hearing it. I'm trying to speak truth. I'm trying to speak God's blessings on you because they're there. We have every spiritual blessing already. Let's just start thanking Him. Even though we don't see it, it's gloom and doom when you look at the circumstances. Keep speaking truth. Keep speaking. God is for you. And He loves you. How much does God love you? This much. You know the little kids, you say, how much does Daddy love you? And throw them little arms out. Picture of the cross. He loves you this much. He's for you. He understands. He's seen every sin, every mess up. He's already taken that at the cross and nailed it there and shut it tight. Don't you dare revive it. He's not.